Am I on?
I think I'm on. You can turn to Titus chapter 3. Thankful for the opportunity to preach, though it would be nicer that it wasn't because our pastor was sick, you know. But thank you. Titus chapter 3. I'm thankful for the series we've been hearing on the Beatitudes. That's been good too. And the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, we're going to pray, and then we are going to get into the passage here. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the truths that you have given us that we're going to be talking about today. Lord, I pray that you would give us open our eyes that we would be enlightened to understand what we're going to be talking about today. I pray that you would help your people to really get a grasp on it. I pray that you would help us to be renewed, Lord, as we see what spiritual renewal is. Lord, it's absolutely amazing how great the promises are you've made towards us, and I pray that they would grip our lives and transform us. I pray that you would help us to see how great what you've given us in Christ is, and that we would reject the world for it. And I pray that Christ would be the focus and would be exalted in this message, and that, Lord, that I would be an effective mouthpiece and only a mouthpiece, and that Christ would be preaching by the Spirit through me, and that you would get all the glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we have been looking at different times and have had the opportunity to preach at what exactly God changes in you in sanctification and how you change. How God changes you. We looked at how sanctification is compared to a quickening. God makes you more spiritually alive. It's compared to growth, transformation, building up. If you were in Sunday school this morning, we looked at sanctification as perfecting, what exactly that involves perfecting. And today we're going to be looking at what it is as renewal sourced in regeneration. So we're going to be looking at sanctification as renewal sourced in regeneration. And that's pretty amazing what God promises us here, and we're going to be taking a look at that. So take a look, please, at Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Titus 3, 4 through 7, say, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." So here in verse 5, we have the mention of regeneration, the washing of regeneration, and also of the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, this the noun renewal, besides here, renewal of the Holy Ghost, a renewal produced by the Holy Ghost, it appears only in Romans 12 and verse 2. So take a look over there at Romans 12 and verse 2. We're going to be looking at the different texts where we have renewal. So here we have the renewal of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5, and Romans 12, 1 and 2. Say, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so here we talked before about transformation. Sanctification is transformation. Here we also have the mention of the renewing of your mind. So we have the renewing of the Holy Ghost in Titus 3:5. In here we have the renewing of the saint's mind. And we can see here that the transformation mentioned in verse 2, the "be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," takes place in association with the renewing of your mind. So God transforms you as your mind is renewed, and the result of being transformed and the result of the renewing of your mind is that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have those two instances of the noun renewal. Then if you look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16... we also have the verb to renew. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, we have the verb for renewal, which appears also in two texts. Here in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So here we can see you have an inward man, if you're a saved person, and that inward man is renewed. It's being renewed. It's progressively renewed, and that renewal is taking place day by day. And before we comment on this text, we're also going to look at Colossians 3:10, and then we're going to synthesize it a little bit. So go to Colossians 3 and verse 10. So there we have the inward man renewed day by day as the outward man is perishing. And there are texts that connect outward man, inward man to new man and old man in the Bible. So they're associated. Colossians 3 and verse 10. Well, might as well read verse 9 as well. "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So here we have the new man, and the new man is renewed. It's being renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So what are some things we can learn about renewal from this text here? Well, we can see, first of all, that renewal is sourced in God. God is the creator of the new spiritual principle within the believer, and he's the author and source of all spiritual growth. Now, you can see here in Colossians 3:10, it says that the image of him that created him. So God creates the new man. This is a supernatural work, just like creation of the world out of nothing. Just like regeneration creates something new, the new man is being renewed is actually a creative work of God. It's a supernatural creative act of omnipotence in creating and strengthening that new man. So God's the creator of the new man. And if you'll turn for a second to Psalm 51 and verse 10, we can see that creation as the work, God working in you, is not just connected with regeneration. Now, in regeneration, God creates, makes you new. You become a new creature. But that supernatural work of God in creation is not limited to regeneration, but it actually is associated with progressive sanctification as well. So here in Psalm 51 and verse 10, David, who was already a saved person, says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." So here we can see that David, getting cleansed from sin as a saved person, is called a creation of a clean heart. David wasn't praying to get saved. He was already saved, and he was praying that God would create in him a clean heart, and that right spirit would be renewed within him. So there's creative power that God exercises in changing you, in renewing you. And and here the heart would be the central organ of who you are. Created me a clean heart, so he makes you, your heart, you as a person, he renews you and creates a clean heart in you. So God is the one who does the renewal. He creates in you a clean heart. He creates that spiritual principle, and he renews you. He's the one who doesn't. And that's very important. We can also see in those texts in Colossians, if you go back in Colossians 3:10, that this renewal is a progressive and daily renewal. So renewal, unlike regeneration, is progressive and daily. It says here, in Colossians 3:10, that the new man is renewed. He is being renewed. God is progressively renewing him. We saw that he is being renewed day by day. So every day this is taking place, God is renewing the believer, the inward man. And so this is taking place day by day in the same sort of way that God daily loads his people with benefits, or in the same sort of way as Mordecai wouldn't bow to Haman day by day. So in the same sort of way, God renews you day by day. It's a progressive renewal that he does. So this is a gradual, protracted work of sanctification, which is imperfect in this life and progressing day by day as God transforms you from one degree of glory or likeness of Christ to another. And so it's continuous, it's progressive, not to say that you can't, you know, hinder it or backslide, but it is a progressive work that God does in renewing you. And also you can see from Colossians 3:10 here, it says that the new man is renewed. So we already mentioned that God is the one who does it, but it says that he is renewed. So this renewal is something that it's a passive verb. So God is renewing you. He's doing it. He's renewing you. You aren't renewing yourself. God renews you. And that's something else we see about the nature of renewal. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Ephesians 4:23. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2. So God does it. It's progressive and continual. It's something that God does. He does it in you. And also we can see that in this text, that it says the renewal is connected to knowledge. We're renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We saw also that it's connected with the mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God renews you in the mind. He renews you in knowledge. And this renewal is associated. Yeah, and take a look at Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. In Colossians 3, the old man was put off at regeneration, and the new man was put on. And then in Ephesians 4, in sanctification, you put off the old man and put on the new man. So there's an aspect in which he was put off at when you got saved, and there's an aspect in which you daily put him off. And Ephesians 4 talks about that aspect. But in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, say that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here we see, again, the renewal is connect. God does it again, be renewed, and also we can see that the renewal is connected with your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So So God renews your mind, he renews your thinking, he renews you as a whole person. And so that is something else that God does here. Now, also another thing that we need to understand about renewal in contrast with regeneration is regeneration is the work of an instant, while renewal is progressive, as we already said. So like in Titus 3, it mentioned the washing of regeneration. That took place, you got regenerated, you got a new nature, God made you new. And also then this renewal, though, is ongoing. That's indicated both in Titus 3, 5, and also in Hebrews 6, 6. Take a look at Hebrews 6 and verse 6. We have another word for renewal here. Hebrews 6, 6. Here it's talking about somebody who is an unsaved person who has a lot of revelation, a lot of light from God, and is commits the unpardonable sin, which is rejecting the light you have and not getting saved, and deciding to turn away, and then you can't get saved if you reject that highest point of light, because God won't renew you, even though if you would come, you would be saved. But Hebrews 6, here we have the people who have a lot of revelation from God in verses 4 and 5. And then it says in verse 6, if these people, it says, if they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to an open shame. So here, we have an action that is a progressive action of God actually drawing an unsaved person, enlightening him to the truth, and giving him a spiritual understanding, and bringing him to the point where he actually is able to respond to be saved. So God actually works in a sort of, it's a different word for renewal, but he works in a supernatural way to actually make it so an unsaved person is able to understand and is able to respond to the gospel, because left to ourselves, nobody would respond. But God wants no one to perish, but all to come to repentance. So he opens their eyes to renew them. And so we can see, though, from this where it says it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, that the renewal begins at the renewal is a process, but renewal is also something that, it isn't something that starts after you're saved. It starts, God is beginning to open your eyes even before you're saved. And the moment you get saved, you're renewed unto repentance. So the moment that you come to saving repentance, renewal is involved in that too. God renews you unto repentance. So the renewal is begins at the same time as repentance and faith and regeneration and justification. And actually here it involves even the Holy Spirit's convicting of an unsaved person and opening his eyes. So regeneration is different from sanctification in the same way the beginning of a thing differs from its continuance. So, like in Philippians 1:6, Paul says, "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So he begins a good work in you, and then he continues to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day Jesus comes back. And that work, the one who begins the work, is the same one who carries it on. So he begins the good work, he continues it until the day of Christ. And it's the same type of work that's being carried on. You know, might as well look at Philippians 1:6 if you're talking about it. Go to Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. So here we can see some distinctions here in the work of God in renewing you. So here Paul says to the Philippians, saved people in the Baptist Church of Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God begins the good work. He's the agent who does it. It's the same type of work. It's the same supernatural creative work that he continues in you until the day Christ comes back. It's has different stages and degrees, though. So he begins it and then he continues that work. And that work progresses. And that goes on from there. So you might say there's a relation kind of like, well, we looked at some of these terms already, but you can see like in growth. When you're born, you're a babe, and then you grow. And you grow to a mature person. And so similarly to that, at regeneration, you have a new principle of holiness communicated to you. And then in practical sanctification, that exercise that principle, you grow. You're new. What is new in you grows, and what is old in you shrinks. Even though the flesh itself doesn't get any better, but the new can get stronger and the old can get weaker. So, kind of like when you are born as an unsaved person, you know, you're born in sin, you have an indwelling sin as a result of your corruption from Adam, and that sinful nature that you have has within it the seeds of all kinds of corruption. So when you as an unsaved person, you are actually have within you something that is able to the ultimate fruition of it would be all kinds of sin. There's no sin that an unsaved person doesn't already kind of have the seed within him of, because of that corruption that he has within him. Even though he might not have done it yet. You know, a baby hasn't committed any murders because it's a baby. But the baby still has a sinful nature until he gets saved that has within him the ability to do any sinful act. Kind of parallel to that, when you're born again, God has, you have this new nature in you now, and that as it grows and manifests itself, there's all kinds of righteousness and holiness and godliness that God works in you to produce. And those things, the seed of those things is in you when you get saved. But it kind of grows and then it can be produced and it comes out. It grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So you can kind of see the parallel there. In regeneration, you get the new nature, and then it can develop and grow in progressive sanctification. And that is how that takes place. One thing we can see from that is that regeneration isn't an end in itself. God's purpose in saving you isn't just you get regenerated and now this is the ultimate. Actually, it's the beginning of a process. Regeneration, the purpose of regeneration is for you to grow, for you to become progressively sanctified, for you to become more holy. That's God's purpose. It's not regeneration isn't the end, it's the beginning. God regenerates you so that you can grow and become more like him and then give him glory forever and ever and cast the crowns at his feet. So that's something we can see about the nature of renewal. So something that's we can see that. Now, some other things about the nature of renewal. We've seen from the text that we've looked at that renewal is a radical and complete transformation that is wrought in you. It's wrought by God. It's the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And by means of this renewal, you become a new man. And God makes you so that you are not to be conformed to this world anymore. And you are able then to grow in knowledge and holiness of truth. And this renewal conforms you to the image of God. That's what it is. The image of God, the moral likeness to God, is what you grow in. And so it's a pretty wide term. So we could see that renewal encompasses within it what we would call regeneration. It encompasses within it what we would call progressive sanctification. So there's a pretty wide grasp for renewal. It encompasses all those things. And there's kind of two groups of terms that you kind of... if you're thinking about the nature of progressive sanctification, that you can kind of have. You have some terms that are what you do, like repent or turn or things of that nature. So those are the ones that you do. And then you have the terms that are the things that God does, like being born again or renewal. Those terms are ones that God does. So you turn to God, God renews you, and you gives you newness of life. So stuff, there's you have both those sides to it. Now, you can see also then, since we have both these things in there, that renewal involves, it's you working and God working. They're both in there, but nevertheless, God is the one who takes the initiative. God renews you. You could say that, because we saw the new man is created. So you're working and God is working. It's not, you know, you sit up in the sky and God renews you, but you work. You are diligent in doing what you're supposed to do, but God is the one who does it. God nevertheless is the one who is the source of it, and all the spiritual growth comes from Him. So, you know, He works in you, and you will and do of His good pleasure, is how it works. He creates you, He makes you spiritually strengthened. And as He spiritually strengthens you, you act more holy. So He makes you more holy, you act more holy, and as you also respond to Him, He makes you more holy. So it kind of goes back and forth with that. So He works in you, you do more, and as you respond to Him, He works in you more, and it works like that. So kind of like in Philippians 2, God works in you to will and do of His good pleasure, and so therefore you work as a result of God working in you. So... renewal then is wrought upon the believer, the one who has come to faith in Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, and He transforms you into the image of God. He doesn't just transform your actions, though it will result in holy actions, but He transforms you. He renews you as a person. You are what He renews. And as He renews you, then you act in a different way. He makes you more like Christ. He makes you more suffer from sin, your nature, in your actions, in your attitudes, and you are renewed into the moral image of Jesus Christ. So those are some things about the nature of renewal, as renewal then begins at regeneration when you are born again, and then you go on from there. Now, something that we should see then about renewal is... something we should see, say a little about regeneration. So this is renewal. Renewal then is source in regeneration. How do we get regeneration? Well, we respond to God in faith, repentant faith, and we also see some instruments through which that takes place. If you look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, 1 Peter 1, 23, we see how regeneration takes place. Being born again. Now, if you go like in John chapter 3, for example, we see it says, Jesus says you must be born again. Then He says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him. The Bible does specify regeneration as a result of faith. It never says you're regenerated in order to believe. It says that you are born again when you believe. So believing is the logical cause of regeneration. But 1 Peter 1, 23 here tells us something about the instrumentality. It says here, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we see that regeneration takes place through the word. God uses the word and works in you through the word for you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And James 1:18 also mentions that we're begotten through the word of truth. So God uses the word and faith. And actually, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So actually, even faith is a result of the word of God, God working through the word. So the Holy Spirit works, the word, God works through the word, through the Holy Spirit, and He works in you, and you believe, and He regenerates you. Something we can see also actually from 1 Peter 1:23 is that he does that you're born again not of corruptible seed but of incorruptible. So we can be thankful that we have a pure Bible in our language. And actually, if you have a Bible that's translated from a corrupt New Testament text or a Bible that's not accurately translated, it's not going to be as powerful. And it's going to hinder people from, wherever it's accurate, you know, God can still work. But where it's not accurate, it's going to hinder people from being saved. So anyway, so regeneration, God regenerates you at a moment in time. He works by the Spirit through the Word, regenerates you, and then renewal begins then, and renewal is a process. Now, something also about regeneration. We have two texts in the Bible that use the word regeneration. One is Titus 3:5, where we saw it talks about the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Whereas one other text about regeneration where the word is used, and that's Matthew 19:28. So take a look at Matthew 19:28. You might have read this text before and thought, why is this called regeneration? But we're going to see this actually tells us in a powerful way about the nature of regeneration. As here we have the only other text where the noun regeneration is used. Matthew 19:28, in addition to the Titus 3:5. So Matthew 19:28 says, here Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So notice here that Jesus calls regeneration the restoration of the world, the restoration of the cosmos, when Jesus comes back and the millennial kingdom comes. So he calls the millennial earth the regeneration of the world. So we have personal regeneration when you're born again, and then here we have cosmic regeneration when the cosmos, the world, is regenerated. And that actually tells us something about the nature of what regeneration is like. Now before we say any more about that, also take a look at Romans 8. Romans 8 gives you another parallel, actually, between the regeneration of believers and the regeneration of the universe. And so we're going to see that it's not just Matthew 19 and Titus 3, but also Romans 8 that show us about this. And then we're going to see some things that this teaches us. So Romans chapter 8, and we'll read verses 18 through 23. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that's all the creatures in the world, the created universe, so the creature, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So, we can see here that there's a connection there's a connection between the manifestation of the sons of God, the individual people who are born again, and that's showing up, and actually the whole creation groaning and travailing in pain, waiting for the cosmic regeneration, the regeneration of the world, is what they're waiting for. So, what does this show us about the nature of regeneration? So, brief review. When you're regenerated the moment you believe. You repent and believe on Jesus Christ, you're born again, given a new nature, a new heart, and you're made new, have a new principle. Then renewal progressively takes place. Now, what exactly does regeneration like? Well, we can see what it's like by comparing how the millennial earth is different, and then that will show us something about how you're different when you're born again. So how are things different in the millennial earth? Well, they're a lot different, aren't they? The ruler of this world right now is who? It's Satan. Satan is the god of this world. Who's going to be ruling the world on the millennial earth? Well, Jesus is going to be ruling. So there's a different master in the millennial earth. Satan, Jesus is the master. And when you get saved, you're no longer have Satan as your master. Now Jesus is your master. He's the Lord now because you now have been regenerated. You've been born again. And Christ will rule in the millennial earth, just like he is your king now when you got saved. Jesus is now your king. He's the one who's ruling now. Nevertheless, in the millennial earth, and the millennial earth is also noticeably different. It's not just a little bit different. If lions are lying down with lambs, you know, that is pretty different, okay? That's pretty different there. You know, there's this temple in Jerusalem. Everybody's going up to worship God at the temple. You don't go up and worship. You don't have any rain in your country. You know, no outward rebellion against Jesus is allowed. It's going to be a very different place, notably different, very different. And when you're born again, you are now very different. God has made you new in a striking way. Also, regeneration in the millennium. In the millennium, there won't be any part of the earth that's not affected. It's not like, you know, Jesus will rule in North America, but, you know, in Pakistan, they'll still worship Allah, okay? It's not going to happen, right? Jesus is going to be ruling the whole earth. The whole thing is going to be ruled by him. And parallel to that, when you're regenerated personally, God makes all of you new. You're a new person, body, soul, and spirit. That's why it says, like 1 Thessalonians 5, that the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the day of coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful is he who calleth you who also will do it. So regeneration doesn't just change part of you, it changes your whole person. It changes your spirit, changes your soul, changes your body. You don't, you know, turn blue and have a halo over you or something, but there's a difference. There's a difference in all of you. Your whole person is changed in individual regeneration, and the whole world is changed in the regeneration of the universe. Now, nevertheless, while that's true, there is still sin in the millennium, though, isn't there? We know that there's going to be, at the end of it, there's going to be unsafe people born in the millennium. There's going to be some nations that aren't going to want to go up and worship, and they're not going to get any rain. And they say, well, maybe we should do this now. And they're going to go so they can get rain. So there's still sin in the millennium. In the same way, when you're born again, you don't achieve sinless perfection. You still have sin in you. You still have indwelling sin, but there's still a big difference. So, individual regeneration, different master, all of you has changed, but you're not, it's not the new heavens and new earth yet. You still have indwelling sin. You're not glorified yet as a person. You don't have absolute freedom from sin. Regeneration of the world, it is different master, different in all its parts, but there's still sin present in the millennium. And that's not going to be totally gone until the new heavens and new earth. And actually, that's this development where there's kind of a continuum from regeneration, where you get the new nature, the growth of that in progressive sanctification, and then in glorification when you are in heaven and completely free from sin. There is even a parallel to that in the way that God regenerates the world. You know, there's going to be a particular event where this regeneration of the world takes place. When Jesus comes back, the millennium's going to begin. It's not going to be like, you know, 50 years where they get everything going. It's going to be different right away. And then there's going to be, you know, the 1,000-year reign. And then there's a new heaven and new earth when actually everything is completely changed. And, we don't need to look at there, but if you've read through the book of Isaiah, Isaiah in chapter 65 actually speaks of the new heaven and new earth as the millennial earth. If you read Isaiah 65, it talks about how actually there's in the millennium, it's called the new heavens and new earth. But then you get to Revelation, and in Revelation, the new heavens and new earth is the eternal state. Well, why is it the millennium in Isaiah, and then the eternal state in Revelation? Well, it's because there's this progress of God regenerating the cosmos, and then making everything perfectly new in the new heavens and new earth. Just like when you get saved, there's newness now. But the ultimate perfect newness and the completion of that is when you get to heaven. So that's how that works. And so there's this parallel to cosmic regeneration and individual regeneration. They're similar, and they show us what regeneration is like. Now, that's why in Revelation 21, Jehovah can say, I make all things new. He makes all things new even through the book of Revelation in the millennium and then the eternal state. Now, what does this tell us about Jesus Christ and what he is like and how this all works? Well, some things we can learn about this is we need to understand that Jesus, when he came into the world, was really the beginning of the new creation. Jesus Christ is the one who is like the beginning of the new creation. And what happened to the incarnate Son happened to our human nature. So his resurrection and his exaltation demonstrate to us that death has been swallowed up in victory. And in Jesus, our human nature is exalted and brought to perfection. So that's why, for example, Psalm 8 talks about how man having dominion over the earth. And then Hebrews 2 quotes that and says this is actually ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. So what's true about man generically is specifically fulfilled in Jesus. So Jesus Christ, as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of all God's purposes for mankind and creation, what God started in, he created everything through Jesus. Jesus is the one who created the old heavens and old earth. And Jesus also is the one in whom the new heavens and new earth are started. He's the image to which we're being conformed. And the reconciling and glorifying work that is performed in us is bringing us into conformity with Christ. So we're in Christ. And in Christ, we're made new with him. We are raised with him. We're enthroned with him. And the resurrection of Christ, then, is the beginning of a new humanity. We're all the saved people. We're in Christ as second Adam. Okay, so you have to think about this. Okay, so he's the second Adam. We're all in him. And he's new. And we're going to be new like him. So we're going to have, and as we're made new, the whole creation is kind of comes along with that, like Romans 8 mentioned. So Jesus is new. He's the new, the second Adam. We're renewed. We're going to be like him. And the whole creation kind of comes in with us being made new. And it all is connected. So the reconciliation of man to God achieves the reconciliation of all things. The reconciliation of man to God, the reconciliation of man to man, the reconciliation of creation to God. And all this then takes place through the redeeming work of the incarnate Son. And the whole creation is kind of restored in Christ, even as we individually are restored in Christ. So regeneration then is individual. The individual regeneration is connected to the regeneration of the world. And the regeneration of the world then is all connected, and it's all because of what Jesus did, and that all ties together. So what are some things then? So review that. That's kind of a little bit, kind of some deep stuff there. But we're going to review that here, okay? So make sure that you get it, and then we're going to see what that means we need to do. What does this mean for us? So regeneration is an instantaneous act when you get saved. When you get saved, when you repent and believe the gospel, you are now regenerated. You have a new nature that is put within you. You are made new, okay? And that is, you're new in a similar way to the way that the millennial earth is new. You have a new master now. You have are changed in your whole person, but you're not completely new because you still have indwelling sin. Okay, so there's still, the flesh lusting against the spirit against the flesh. Nevertheless, this regeneration is the beginning of a process of renewal where God supernaturally is changing you and inwardly making you into the image of Christ. So he's now renewing you, making you like Jesus Christ, and making you progressively like him until that process of creative power that began in regeneration is progressing in renewal, that is ultimately fulfilled when you get to heaven. And all of that is because of what Jesus did. And Jesus, as the head of the new creation, is the one united to whom you are made new, and the whole creation is made new. So Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross, and him making all this happen, is the center of it all, and the focus of it all. So that's what regeneration is. And that's what renewal is. And it is conforming us to the image of Christ, the second Adam, and we're going to be perfectly like him when we get to heaven and we're in glory. So what does that mean we need to do? How does this affect our lives? The fact that regeneration is what it is and renewal is what it is. Well, there's a lot of ways it affects our lives. First of all, if you're not saved, you need to be regenerated. Are you different the way the millennial earth is different from this earth? Okay? That's there's still indwelling sin, okay? But when you're regenerated, there's a change. You are now new. You are different the way the millennial earth is different from this earth. All right? Have you been regenerated? And that regeneration is a supernatural thing that takes place at a moment in time. Jesus is going to come back in a moment in time. Okay? And when he comes back, there's tribulation, then there's going to be this millennial earth. It's going to be a supernatural change that happens at a point in time. Regeneration, it happens at a point in time. You need to come to a point in time where you are regenerated. When you repent and believe the gospel, and God makes you new. That's the new birth. New birth is parallel to what God does in the new creation. Okay? If you are not regenerated, if you are not different the way the millennial earth is different, that's a problem. Because you need to be regenerated. You need to be born again. When a lost person comes to salvation, he also needs to, he doesn't like, you know, reform himself or something. It has to be God that does it. But you have to want to be different the way the millennial earth is different. You know, when you come to Jesus for salvation, you trust in him. You're trusting in him to give you eternal life and to change you. You want him to make you different in a similar way to the way the millennial earth is different. If you just want Jesus to get you out of hell, but you don't want him to actually, you don't want to be united to him, you don't want to be renewed by him, you don't want him to be changing you, you don't want him to actually make you holy, you don't really want him. You just want something, you want to get out of hell free card, but you don't want Jesus. So you need to want Jesus. You need to want Jesus who changes you, who renews you. All right? Also, another thing you can see is that renewal, since we saw like in Hebrews 6 that renewal is connected with a person getting saved, he renews you under repentance. If you're an unsaved person, you're convicted of sin, you need to respond to God. Because God renews you unto repentance. If he stops working in your life because you say, no, 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 I don't want to be saved, I'll do it later, whatever, I'll get saved whenever I want to, that's not true. He needs to renew you under repentance. So you need to actually, if you're convicted of sin, you see you need to be saved, you better respond. You better repent and come to Christ. Because if he stops working in your life because you keep saying no, you aren't gonna repent. Because you're so evil by nature that unless God works in you, you're not going to want it. So you need to be renewed under repentance. And also, in light of how glorious this is, Jesus is giving you his image. He's making you like him. Why would you not want to be saved? Jesus is going to make you like him. This is incredible. Why cling to your sin into the world instead of having renewal, source and regeneration? So those are some things for a lost person. Now, for saved people, which most of us are here, what are some things that we should conclude from this? Well, take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19. I'll start in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that's spiritual wisdom and revelation, in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him his own right hand in the heavenly places, and so on. So notice here, Paul prays that the believers at Ephesus would have their eyes open to the exceeding greatness of God's power and the exceeding greatness of his working in them. So one thing we can learn from this, this is amazing. God gives you a new nature. He progressively, supernaturally conforms you to Christ. He brings you into union with Christ, and you are going to be like him. You're progressively being conformed to his image by a supernatural divine act, and you're going to be like the one who's the head of all the universe. Jesus is the center of everything. He's the one who is the focus of God's plan from eternity past. He's going to be the focus of our worship for eternity future. In his cross and what he did there, that's the center of this created world. Because of him and his death and resurrection, all these things can take place. He's able to regenerate you. He's able to regenerate the cosmos. He's able to make everything new. And he's going to make you conform to him. You should be have your eyes enlightened to that. Just meditate upon how incredible this is. This is, you get to be regenerated and get to be renewed into the image of Jesus Christ. Have your eyes enlightened to that. Think about how incredible that is. And let that work in your life. Another thing that we can learn from this is, as we've seen through it all, that renewal, like regeneration, is a supernatural work of God. So don't think you can renew yourself. You are not able to sanctify yourself on your own. God is the one who has to work in you to will and do of his good pleasure. This is all of God. He's the one that does it. So don't think that you can do it yourself or rely on yourself or take any glory to yourself. God is the one who does it all. It's all of God. God regenerates you. He renews you. You cooperate with him. You know, you do as he works in you to will and do. But it's all of God. And you need to recognize that, and that's going to be important if you're going to grow. It's all of God. Another thing we can learn from this is you should expect God to actually renew you, body, soul, and spirit, as you cooperate with him. You know, go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Here Paul prays for the Thessalonians. He says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." So we see that God wants to sanctify you, spirit and soul and body. In fact, faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. So you should expect, because God has said that he wants to, that since you've been regenerated, the Spirit's working in you to renew you. So you should expect that as you cooperate with God, as you fulfill what you're supposed to do on your part, that God will change you. He'll change you spirit, he'll change you soul, he'll change you body, he'll make you holy. He'll change you what you do with your body, what you don't do with your body, what you put in your body, what you don't put in your body. He'll change your soul, he'll change the inward center of your being, he'll change your spirit, he'll change all of you. And he'll renew you progressively into what he is. Sometimes people get the idea, and you know, this is it's an important thing to think there is an aspect in which, you know, your flesh itself doesn't get better. In you, in that sense, there dwells no good thing. But you don't want to get the idea that, you know, the moment before you die, after 30 years of renewal, God hasn't changed you at all. Like, you're exactly the same as you were when you got saved. God actually changes you. And you need to expect him to be renewing you. If you don't expect him to actually be changing you, that's going to hinder your sanctification. So expect that as you cooperate with God, as you are in his word, as you're living by faith, as you're communing with him, expect him to change you. Expect him to be making you holy. It's all of him. You don't make yourself holy, but expect him to be changing you. And so that's another thing that you should get out of this. God wants to renew you, and he will renew you. He will renew you, and as he renews you, you will act differently. Another thing that you should conclude from this is you should see how you should understand and treasure and glory in the greatness of Jesus Christ, who brings us all to pass. All this universe was created by him. All redeemed humanity is a creation of God. It's a creation of God. The creation is because of him. The new creation is because of him. All of it centers in him. So you need to treat Jesus Christ as somebody who's really important. Because he's the creator. He's the one who makes the new creation. He's the one who makes it so you can be renewed. He's the center of everything. So how do you treat Jesus Christ? When you don't keep his commandments, but you hold on to sin, think about what you're saying about Jesus. You're treating him as if he's not very important. He's the one who created everything. He's the one who renews you. You need to treat him as if he's really important. You need to honor him. You need to not hold on to sin. Will you not love and serve this one who's done all this for you? He's renewed you. He regenerates you. He renews you. He's going to make you in his image. He's going to make you be with him forever in eternal glory. You need to honor him. You need to love him. You need to serve him because of who he is. He's worthy. He's brought you into this union with himself. He's given you this absolutely incredible redemption. He's given you a redemption, as we saw in previous messages. He quickens you. He transforms you. Oh, one thing that I didn't mention, we had the message of transformation, that we saw that the same word is used for transformation when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he was there, he was all holy in that glorified body. That's the same word that's used for him transforming you. The difference is that's for him, it was like a one-time action word, and for us, it's a progressive word. But he actually is transforming you in the same sort of way that he was transfigured. He's giving you his glory. He's conforming you to his image. His moral likeness is being made, is given to you. So if he's doing all that for you, you need to fulfill his purposes. You need to do what he wants you to do. You need to cooperate with him in this work of sanctification so that you can be renewed into his image. You know, this is the best possible thing ever. There's nothing that could possibly be greater than for you to be regenerated and be conformed to the one who's the center of the universe, Jesus Christ. So if this is the best thing in the world possible, to be regenerated, to be renewed, and then to be glorified like Jesus, then, man, that needs to be what you're set upon. That needs to be your focus. Your focus needs to be upon likeness to Christ, being renewed into his image. Will you choose this world and sin over him? If you choose the world and you choose sin over regeneration and renewal of the image of Christ, you're choosing dust that's going to pass away over infinite and eternal glory that's everlasting and the greatest possible thing. Think about how deceived that is. You are so deceived if you want to live for this world and you want to be focused upon these temporal things that are going to go away when you can be in the image of Jesus Christ and you can be renewed into his, you can be supernaturally created. God wants to work in you to transform you and make you like Jesus. And you're going to say no to that? You're going to say no, I want whatever this thing is I'm holding on to. And this sin that made Jesus die, this sin that is against the eternal purposes of God, I want that rather than to be renewed in the image of Jesus Christ. How foolish. How foolish. Why will you choose dust that will perish over renewal into the image of Jesus Christ? So that's regeneration, and that's renewal that comes out of that regeneration. So if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to be regenerated, get saved, so that this can begin. So you can get on this process. This renewal can begin. And if you're saved, then you need to cooperate with God so that he renews you in the greatest possible way and you can give him the most glory possible so that you can please him and fulfill the greatest possible thing in the whole world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for sanctification, how it changes us. Lord, it is an incredible thing that you would want to regenerate us and renew us in the image of your Son. What an amazing thing that is, Lord. How can it be that you would bring us, who are by nature sinners and rebellious against you in the first Adam, that you would bring us and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ and bring us into union with him and show your exceedingly great power in creatively renewing us and changing us into your image and continuing that work until the day of Jesus Christ. What an incredible, incredible thing. I pray that you would humble us over what amazing things are that you have done. And I pray that you would work in our lives so that we as a church, so that we as individuals would cooperate with you and we would put off the old man and put on the new and do what our part is so that you would renew us in the greatest possible way and we could give you the glory that you so richly deserve. Thank you so much for the truths of regeneration and renewal. And Lord, I pray that they would affect our lives and transform us. And I pray, Father, that people here who might not have been regenerated, who have not been changed the way that the new earth has, the millennial earth is different from this earth. Lord, would you convict them and see that they need to be renewed under repentance. And would you work in their lives so that they would respond to your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.